peace to our brothers and sisters. We are going into the contents of Acts 6. Those who read the book of Acts will know that in chapter 6, there were disagreements in the church. We must know that we just completed chapter 5. The content of chapter 5, the good days of the church were over. The enemy of the church, Satan, continues to bring internal and external problems to the church. So that is where there are people who drop dead in the church. Those who preach the gospel boldly were being persecuted. They were being whipped. But the Holy Spirit gave them the joy of the Spirit. They continue to preach the word in church and in their homes. And this is really the work of the Holy Spirit. They could be bold even under the persecution of political powers. This is something that the Lord has done in the hearts of men to give them strength. Although we are like sheep with very gentle nature and not very fierce, but in the hearts of the evangelists, God give them such boldness. When Satan sees such persecutions, he causes the church to split, he uses a new method. At the start of chapter 6, he uses a new method called divisive attacks. Divide and conquer. First, to start internal disagreement within the group so that they lose their cohesiveness, so that the enemies can attack them and cause division. This is something that Satan uses within the church. In today's verses, there's a group of people in the church and another group of members resulted in some disagreement. Although it's something small, this is because these two groups already have some minor differences in perspective. So when some complications arise in the church, such that the benefits of people are affected, these small differences in views and perspective could develop into prejudice and cause doubts towards each other. This is something that happens easily in the church. When brothers and sisters start to differentiate between myself and themselves, and when they serve each other, and if they do not develop a relationship, when some things happen, they will receive accusations from Satan. Some of the words like grumbles will start to come out, and these problems will aggravate, and church may start to divide if things get worse, or people will start leaving the church. And we will often see this in church arena. But not every difference will end up in division. Where there is sinful men, and where there are many needs, many differences can occur. Not ideal situations will happen. We will have difference in opinions. These are very common. But how can we rely on the Holy Spirit, rely on love, wisdom of the Holy Spirit to handle these matters is very important. Some people will act in the flesh. They will come with certain prejudices and start to suspect certain people in church. They say they start to see through them after knowing them 10 years. This gives the devil a foothold to bring about even more differences. It's also in such times, some people who are anointed will fix their eyes on Christ and see all things from the view of Christ. They will be given love and wisdom to judge and to assess the situation. Not only to mediate the differences, but also to learn a spiritual lesson. Not only is the problem solved, but all glory is given to God. It is not a problem of disagreement, but it is how we manage the differences and disagreement. Our perspective, our priorities, what do we hold as important in problems? How do we use the view of God to resolve the issue and manage it? This will change the situation from a problem to a solution. How do we know that people are not Holy Spirit filled? We can see it from the way they handle disagreement in the church and how they deal with the disagreement they have with other brethren in church. Then we will know whether they are Holy Spirit filled. We are not saying that we have to please everybody. We must allow people to see how God see everybody, God's perfect will, to see God's view in this whole matter. Because when they do not see God's will, they will see from their own perspective. But once God's will is presented, a lot of voices, a lot of right and wrongs are reduced, and everybody will agree that such methods of resolution is the best. Then the church can progress, and the church can be sanctified. So this is what we see in Acts chapter 6. Let's read from Acts chapter 6. Try to read through this the night before. In chapter 6, we will explain the verses. Chapter 6, in those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. In a short verse like this, we need to ponder over several issues. Firstly, the disciples was increasing. The number of disciples was increasing. It's not just ordinary believers. This is a blessed church because they have the battle of the cross. Those who come to the church who are disciples and not common believers. If all the people who come to our church are disciples, that would be great. Because at those times, because the message of the church was very pure, they only preached about Jesus is the Christ, but not about humanism, not about humanistic messages. Because the sheep of God recognize the voice of God. Why is it that the people who come are all disciples? Because these are people who were being persecuted. They are not in their comfort zone. Those who want to believe has to pay a price. The number of disciples increasing means the expansion of the kingdom of God. The number of believers who are born again also increased. Sins are also being dealt with. The lives of sheep are being ministered to. There's a system in the church so that the church could progress. It's not that when the number of people increase, we can do things in any manner we want. It's not about people coming in by the thousands, but there must be God's wisdom and system in the growth of the church. In such a situation, it's inevitable that some things that are unpleasant might happen. So there were some complaints against the Hebraic Jews by the Hellenistic Jews. There are two groups of people. There is the Hebraic Jews and the Hellenistic Jews. We must know the background of these Jews. Hebraic Jews came from the family of Abraham. They were the very pure blood. They live in the land of Israel. They grew up in the land of Israel. And the Hellenistic Jews came from elsewhere. They were more traditional. They followed the commands and laws. And there is the Hellenistic Jews. In the times during the Roman Empire, there were the Greeks. Because of the Pentecost, they came to celebrate the Passover and they came and stay. They did not grow up in the land of Israel. Why are they called the Hellenistic Jews? Because they know how to speak Greek, and they know about the Greek traditions. When you come from outside, so they are not so familiar and in fact more liberal towards Hebrew laws. So this is why we are easily influenced by our traditions and cultures. Although they were the same, but there were also differences. These two groups, the Hellenistic Jews and the Hebraic Jews. One thing in common, they were all Jews. They have all acknowledged Jesus Christ as the Messiah. This is what we see in the church today. There are many groups of people. Between people, it depends on how you're being brought up. When I was in China, some grew up in the city, some grew up in the villages, so their backgrounds are different. But when they come together in the church, there will be some challenges because their cultures are different. There's something unseen that separates them. Even their accents are different. Some came from traditional churches, some came from the charismatic churches, and some come to our life church today. So come from very traditional background, and some are very liberal. Some people, when they sing, when they worship, they do not move, but some are more have more movements when they worship the Lord. They will look at each other. This is something very normal. Because of your background, it's different. We are different, but we are all believers. Back in the church then, it is also about the same. So there is a practical problem among the church then. The distribution of food was being overlooked for the widows. Why did such a thing happen? You must remember that the Jews were concerned about helping the needy. These widows have no reliance, and the church often distributed food to them and looked at their welfare. So they provided for them in their practical needs. But we must know that there are some disagreements between them. So they neglected the daily distribution of food for the widows. So such a thing happened in the church. There's such neglect in the church. Neglect means it's unintentional. It is not deliberate. It is not that they want to place certain preferences for any groups of people, but it's something that was unintentional. But we must know that the number of people continue to increase. So it is inevitable that such things get neglected when the numbers keep on increasing. So things like Sunday school and in all this may be neglected and can easily happen. But what is important, when such unintentional faults happen, what are the hearts of men? So from each perspective, they will think that they are not in the wrong. So they started defending themselves and say that they were sincere in the way they handled others. But the other group felt that there was really neglect. So the two cannot see eye to eye. They all came out of love. But some use their heart to love, and some use their mind to love. But if you use heart, but you don't use the mind, or vice versa, you will not have love. When people quarrel, whatever they say is correct. One use the heart, and one use the mind. Some will say, this is very important. We should help our own people. Those who use our mind, we must also help. But there are a lot of people that needs help. They use their mind and start to assess who needs help more. So these two groups will start to have disagreement. Because we are not human, we are limited. This heart and mind needs to be joined together to love people. When you read this, you don't just think that this is a problem of the church, because this also happens in a family where the husband uses the mind while the wife uses the heart. But the couple must come together to in one heart to see this matter so that they can bring up their children holistically in the Lord. So if you have wisdom in the church, you also have wisdom at home to guide your family. So what happened in the church? Verse 2, so the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. The emphasis of the apostles is not to neglect the ministry of the word, just to wait on the tables. This means the preaching of the word. This is the most spiritual perspective. Verse 3. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them. Verse 4. And will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. There are some principles that we need to ponder. It talks about waiting on tables. This is a serving at the tables. It's not about distribution of the food. In traditional churches, in the early churches, the serving at the table includes there's also exchange of money. And people would do good by giving donations and give offerings. And so people like the widows will come to benefit from these. So when these are being neglected, the apostles knew they have to concentrate on what the Lord has given them, which is prayer and the preaching of the word. This does not mean that the apostles look at things from above and say that they don't want to look at the small things. But when the numbers keep on increasing, some of these operational stuff can be redistributed to others. If God has called a preacher to preach the word, if he is bothered with all these operational matters and to take care of the less privileged, and in doing so, he will neglect what the Lord has called him to do, which is to ponder and meditate on the word and to preach the gospel. And this will actually affect believers downstream. There are really many needs in the church. They need a lot of help and care and concern. But the important thing is who is to do all this. Someone who is being called to preach. If he continues to meddle himself in this and does not pay attention to preaching the word, this will actually cause the church to suffer. Whether it's preacher, elders, or pastors, they should do less of these operational matters. Now we know how our church operate. Other than Pastor Elder Wen Gang and Preacher Hui Jin, who preach the word, Elder Zi Ming is more involved in administrative matters. He will also preach during funerals. But in the most ideal situation, these people focus on the ministry of the word, so that they can preach the word clearly, so that they can feed the sheep in a spiritual manner, to do less of these things as possible. When the overseers do less of such administrative work, then who will do all these? There are so many big matters and small people who need to be taken care of. If everybody is to preach the word and lead small groups, who's going to do all these small matters? When nobody stepped up, the overseers will have to take over these roles. Some of the deacons see that the overseers are busy. They initiate to take over some of these matters so that we can the overseers can focus on the word. I'm very thankful to the Lord for such initiatives among the deacons. Not only are they dedicated and wise, but they saw the importance of the word. But not many churches have such perspective. But I'm not sure when it started. Many things, the culture of the church is that the pastor has to be the HR director, the CEO, and also to preach the word. This is quite impossible. What your hands touch, what you see, that's where your focus is. When you continue to meddle yourself in these matters, and when people tell you their needs, and when you open the Bible, you have to objectively read the Word of God in consideration of the people's needs. This is quite impossible. Man is limited. We have limited experience, limited thinking, limited analytical skills. So what their hands touch and what their eyes see, they will then preach. The pastor must also shepherd and take care of others so that he can preach the word well. That's true. But how much of it should you do? When the church is small, we used to do everything. When pastor and pastor's wife, when the church was small, pastor and pastor's wife, we even took it home to bring it. We brought home mattresses in the Sunday school room to wash. In the church, there are many things in the background that needs to be done. If you're not meticulous, there are things that will be neglected. There are many chores in the background that needs to be done. Many women who are involved in household will be more meticulous in such matters of the church. Some of them will think that usually they will bother about cleanliness in the church. Many people love the church, but they are very selective in the way they manage things in church. What I want to say today are that these things matter. Things like visitation are important, but if pastors continue to accept visitors, how can he focus on preaching? If pastor has to preach message yesterday, today, and this evening, to prepare one message, it can be quite time-consuming unless you do not put your heart to it. It's something very easy. You do not look into the situation of the believers to preach the message. If you just cut and paste from the internet, it is very easy. But if the pulpit doesn't preach God's word, it is not about the knowledge. It's about life. It's about love. It's about your faith. And the burden that you have for the believers that God has entrusted you with. So some people think that the ministry of the word is just preaching a few words. Those who can preach can just go up to preach. But the quality of preaching can differ a lot. Some, when they preach, others will fall asleep. But when some preach, people are cut to the hearts. I grew up in church. Some shepherds, when others know that they are preaching, they will say, it's him again. It is not that he does not have the gift of the gap. It is not about the gift of speaking. But when you speak, whether he put his heart and mind to it, does he think about the situation of believers to preach the message? Do you pray when you preach the message? And when you do so, the Holy Spirit will work in your heart. This is something you cannot deceive others with. Even the apostles who had seen Christ personally knew that they should not neglect the ministry of the word. And even for us, we must clearly know, as preachers of the word, we must give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. Our calling to be shepherds, to be overseers, is to preach the word. But at the same time, we must also pray. We must pray continuously. Why prayer and ministry comes together? In order to preach, you need the wisdom. It comes from wisdom and knowledge. Prayer is your life. Knowledge and life must be integrated together. They must come together in equal weightage. You cannot just refer to reference books, but have no life. They don't pray. They hardly pray for others. They hardly pray for themselves. So in his preaching, it's very scholaristic, becomes knowledge-based. So it is not integrated with daily living. Life and knowledge, when integrated, will there be Holy Spirit anointing. When it comes to serving, we realize that we might reach a stagnant state. We might be worried. We do not know what to say. Then what do? You must, and you do not have the confidence to speak. Then what must you do? You have to pray. Or sometimes I will go out to jog in the evening. You need to struggle with God. This is something that you have to struggle with God personally and receive comfort from the Lord. A lot of words will come to you. Then you'll be strengthened in your heart so that I know what to teach my brethren. This is about life and word being integrated together. Some people think it's very easy for me to do it. But that's because I love the Lord. There's so many trivial things in the church. Who's going to do them? Those brothers and sisters with burden can do so. When it comes to serving, I do not encourage brethren who just come among our church to serve. Things like administrative work, like finance, you cannot ask someone new to be involved in this. Some people think that they are accountants and they can do finance. Our church must be careful. Some of the more sensitive things, we will require people who have more mature Christians in our church who have grown with us to be involved. When some people are involved in some taking caring ministry, they will be very affected. The serving of the church is not so straightforward. Sometimes, taking care of a few hundred people is already a problem. So back in the early churches, taking care of 1,000 or more people was worse. I have to ask all the deacons to listen to the message today. How did the apostles handle these complaints? Firstly, the apostles did not blame anybody, but they came out of love. You must look at the intent of their complaints. There were some blind spots. Those who are leaders, when they hear people complain, they should not just scold others. Some people like to gossip. So for these people, if they only know how to gossip and grumble, they should be scolded. Second, the apostles also did not avoid the problem. So they did not try to escape from the issue, knowing the complexity. They don't just sweep the matter under the carpet and leave it there. This will result in the problem snowballing into something worse. Thirdly, during a meeting, when we discuss a lot of things, after discussing for half a year, there's no conclusion. Apostles' leadership must rise up. When new things happen, leadership guidance is very important. There must be decision made. If the matters drag on, a decision has to be made. Then you will improve upon it. So after praying, the apostle received guidance from the Lord. They chose 7 deacons among them to handle the distribution matter. Have you all asked why is it 7 and not 8? Why is it not 6? Because some people say 7 is a complete number. But I don't think this is the reason. Because in the daily distribution, I believe it is because there were 7 days in a week and hence there were 7 deacons in charge of each day. As long as one deacon is not responsible on that day, things will be affected. It cannot be that when one is absent, there's nobody to cover up. When one deacon shirks responsibility, the rest will be affected. What happened in the early church can also be applied in today's church. When people's needs are affected, you will see many loopholes. Some people will fall through the cracks. Some people will fall and be weak. The qualities of these 7 deacons are very important. They must have good repute. They must be full of the Spirit. They must be full of wisdom. Let's think about all these qualities. Why must they have good repute? Because in these two groups of people, they have disagreements. When you choose people, you must ensure that the leader selected is respected by both groups. They must have love, they have wisdom, they have life, and they can be accepted by both groups of Jews. Hence, the good repute. So some of them only have good repute before the preacher, but among the people, he's not popular. But when you have to handle complex matters, they must be popular among people. In verse 5, you will know that you will know the names of the deacons. They are all Greeks. This is all about wisdom. These seven deacons, they are all Greek Jews. It is the Hellenistic Jews who complain. Which group of Jews do you think is more? There were more Hellenistic Jews. So more Hellenistic Jews were chosen. We must know one more condition. We are doing the Lord's work. It's not just about reputation. You need to be Holy Spirit filled. The deacons also have to be full of spirit and full of wisdom. These two qualities must be integrated together so that they can handle well a difficult and complex issue. It is not easy to find a worker who is filled with the Spirit or full of and wisdom at the same time. Full of the Spirit refers to someone who is very spiritual, someone who knows the heart of God. When someone is Holy Spirit filled, he knows the Word of God, he knows the Gospel. Among the deacons, who's the most outstanding? It was Stephen. Later, he became martyred. Before he was being martyred, he spoke the word most clearly. When it talks about serving, we are not talking about people who know how to, who have very good interpersonal relationship. To help somebody, you need to assess the life of that person. You must give them some perspective in their thinking. You might need to give them money. When they're sick, you might have to bring them to the hospital. You need to encourage their faith. Put their faith on men and not on put their faith in God and not on men. All this needs someone who is Holy Spirit filled. Even when you want to counsel someone, do you use worldly methods or do you use the word from the Bible? You need someone who is Holy Spirit to do all this. But because what they need to handle is something very complex and mundane and involve many people, you need a lot of wisdom. In the church, One wisdom that is most needed is about managing people. When you manage people, you must have the words of wisdom to speak appropriately. Some people can do things very well and very fast, but when they come to working with others, they cause hurt. And also some others who are afraid of hurting others, they don't give pressure to anyone. They will do everything themselves. So in this case, they lack wisdom. When they are with people, they cannot grasp the hearts of men. They do not know how to encourage others. They also forget about giving sweet pressure to others. While there are challenges, we need to give some pressure, sweet pressure on others. To find somebody with good reputation, full of spirit and wisdom, is very hard to find. Some people have a lot of wisdom, they have good interpersonal relationship, but when they have to do some work, they cannot deliver. Outside, you give salary to others to do the work. You have to use word season with salt so that people will serve wholeheartedly and willingly. If you don't consider such works, you will not want to do them. When it affects the benefits of many people. Now in Sunday school, there are 3 classes. In future, there will be 4 classes. Some parents might think that their kids are more mature and they can go to the older class. But if you tell them that this is the age group, they rejected them, saying that these are the rules, and this might leave the parents unhappy. And so some other parents see it and they will follow suit. How you want to do the ministry, you must understand the parents, you must understand the kids, and you need to be able to explain to them. When I'm with my co-workers, I always share this spirit with others. So I tell them that when you're full of wisdom and Holy Spirit, you can resolve. If you cannot do it, then you cannot do such holy works. I'm not God, but wisdom comes from God. The situation is also allowed by God. The answer should also come from God. So this is a problem of prayer not being enough, or the principles not being very clear. Thank God, in such complex matters, the apostles had wisdom to handle the situation. So among the apostles, they had authority. So they asked everybody to keep quiet. The apostles did not ask them to keep quiet and just select people among them. So after praying, so this is not something that, it's not a top-down approach, but the apostles ask that they pray together and select among them someone suitable. So they will take into consideration the views of others. It's not just about one person talking, giving the direction. I'm also not God. I must consider all things and then select. So some of them abuse their powers and bring about unhappiness in the church. So in verse 5, their proposal pleased the whole group in verse 5. Why are they pleased? Because they felt that what the apostles do was very appropriate. Because this came with prayers and brought about the best outcome. It has God's wisdom so that it pleased the whole group. So the seven deacons are Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, of Philip, Prochorus, Nicander, Nippon, Parmenas, Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So these are all Greeks. They emphasize mainly Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and he was the first man who was being martyred. And who was the second? He was Philip. In verse 8, he went to Samaria to preach the word. And then the five deacons. The deacons not only know how to do things, but they also are Holy Spirit filled to preach the word. The role of the deacon is to serve the people, but also have anointing in preaching the word of God. But not all the deacons are perfect. If you have this responsibility as a deacon, you may not be perfect, but be humble and continue to pursue what God has called you to do. We have also to examine where we are at whatever status we are and continue to move forward. And verse 6, they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. Why do they have to lay hands on them before the apostles? This is to be open in imparting this authority. This is a spiritual serving, so that the commoners know the authority that is given to them. Why are they given this responsibility? Why are they anointed? They are being acknowledged before God and people of their authority. They have to run the race, they have to battle, they have to sow the seeds. So a church that does not have a system is very messy. Why is it that it's important to be laid hands before people? Those who are being laid hands on, you will have a spirit. I'm representing the church in doing things as a deacon. When they are being laid hands on, they have less grumbles. Those who are not being anointed will have more grumbles. There are also those who have been anointed but keep on complaining. But you must first see their lives. You must know that this is a person acknowledged by God and also of men, so that wisdom can come upon this person more and more and benefit the church. Okay, verse 7. So the word of God spread, The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Do you see this? When blessed workers are raised, there's a breakthrough in the ministry of the word. When the church is being managed well, the hearts of believers also become more joyful because everyone is taken care of. When the hearts of believers see such a scene, they will love the church more. They will pray more for the church. And you see more and more blessed people coming among us. When people have a lot of grumbles, you don't even have the heart to bring people to church. So if they quarrel among teachers, Sunday teachers, they might not even want to come to church or bring people to church. There are weaknesses among people. There's management, weakness in management. But when we see such things, we should not let the devil have a foothold. We have to grow spiritually. We must see how pastors, deacons view all these matters. Not everybody is perfect, but we pray for wisdom. But we know that when the church is being managed well, the hearts of people are joyful, and the hearts of believers will also pray for the church. And the apostles will not have any will be able to dedicate their time to the word so that they can minister to people. Who are the priests back then? The priests were the ones who persecuted the disciples, and now they all came among them. They came not because of programs, but they came because of the word. So that when programs increase, people who are attracted are not true believers, but when people come because of the word, you will attract more disciples. What I say here is more controversial, but I'm saying it to let you understand more. Your priority, what is more important? If you are attracted by the wrong things, but certain things which are not important, we should not place so much priority on it. If we talk a lot on testimony, some people might become proud. But if you keep repeating the same testimony over and over again, people get tired. Only the unchanging one, the most reliable one, the most absolute one, can cause our hearts to grow and our faith to grow. So when God's word increase, the current church is weak is because of the weakness in the word. Our church must also introspect. In areas where we should be dedicated, we should do so and not neglect them. When there are issues with management, you have to really look at it in totality and meticulously. I pray that when we anoint deacons, it's not to keep on anointing them in four terms. It is a lifetime commitment. We have seen the life of these people, and then we anoint them. We know that the good works that is in them comes from God. Once we have acknowledged this, we pray that God continues to anoint him and we lay hands on him so that throughout his lifetime, he can face God and man until he meets God face to face. There might be times when he falls. You cannot just judge him that he is not genuine. There are times when we might have judged wrongly. Let this person who has been anointed give him space to grow. Those with roles in the church, it is good to give them some responsibility because they have been anointed by God and men. So you can raise some suggestions to them. They are given some authority and status as a deacon. Do not just handle things at your level, but if need to, you can raise it up to the deacons. Then you can talk to the deacons and then to the pastor. In such a system, this is to escalate matter is more healthy. What is the most blessed way of managing things? It is because God has already revealed his truth in the Bible. When unideal situations happen, it is to build up the church so that they can grow, rely on the Holy Spirit to solve the problem and give all the glory to God. Let's all pray. We thank you, Lord, for giving us such a practical message. We know that none of us here is perfect. We all look upon you, the Great Shepherd, Lord Jesus Christ, for your strength so that the church can be protected. Please help our church, Lord. There are many areas that are imperfect in our church, but we believe that you have given us this message because all of us need to learn a lesson from today's message. We pray that this message is received by everyone here. We pray that more wisdom can be given to all of us. We can meditate and think about all this, but we have to face all these personally. And through this message, continue to give wisdom to those who have who are given roles. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.